Good evening. Please stand as we sing number 323, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Good to see you back tonight. I was going to read you what Tony sent, what they sent me earlier today. It says Tony is not being admitted. They covered for you when I told Brother Nichols that was the dinner bell, but I was well aware it was somebody. I was well aware of the fact it was somebody's phone. I just wasn't sure. I figured if I could be smart aleck, you'd forget about it for a second. So, but to make sure your phones are off so they don't go off during church. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Bless now the time we have together. And ask you for the same thing this morning, this evening that we did this morning. Your power on Brother Nichols as he preaches. Give him the strength he needs. And I pray, Lord, you bless the rest of singing. Help the folks who are still getting here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We'll be singing number 329, The Cleansing Wave.
Oh, now I see the crimson wave, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. The cleansing stream I see, I plunge in.
Folks visiting with us. We had a good crowd this morning. Anyone here for the first time? The first time in a long time? Good to see you. Anyone else? Don't want to miss anyone. Good to have you, young fella. All right. I tried to work on the, tried to get the prayer list done in time. I was in the middle of it and messed it up, so I will go back after church and finish it. So there will be some new prayer list on the back after I make the corrections. But a couple things that we mentioned this morning, I already mentioned Tony. Either this next week or in the near future. First, I'll mention this so I don't forget. Tonight, the March birthdays and anniversaries, Cake Fellowship will be in the fellowship hall. And as always, they'll have stuff for those of you that need stuff without sugar. And I've tasted some of the stuff without sugar, and you can't tell it doesn't have sugar. So that's a good thing, because sometimes stuff without sugar tastes like stuff without sugar. But there'll be some of that in the fellowship hall after church. Yeah, and so the stuff going on this week is our normal stuff, which means Wednesday 7:30 for our prayer and Bible study, Thursday night soul winning at 6:45. Friday night's youth activity will be leaving here at 6, heading over to Texas Baptist, 6 to 6:15 when we'll be leaving here. And again, everyone's invited, all ages. We'll play some volleyball with Texas Baptist. We just split up teams usually, just choose folks, everyone that wants to play. So mom, dad, you're welcome to play. We keep everybody inside the gym. We take the soda. They usually supply the tacos, but we'll have a time of activity and then fellowship, and that will be Friday. Friday evening at 7, and I didn't know about this when we scheduled the youth activity, but Brother Ridge will be speaking in the Spanish church on Friday night at 7 o'clock, Saturday at 10 a.m. He'll be speaking, and then Sunday be all day with Brother Lear. That is, again, those of you that speak English on Friday and Saturday, you're still welcome to go because they'll have an interpreter. So I don't know if Brother Ridge speaks in Spanish, and then Brother Lear will interpret, or Brother Lear will speak in Spanish as Brother Ridge speaks in English. I don't know. I just know one of them's going to be interpreting for those of us that are English and don't understand Spanish. So that will be this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I may talk for teenagers. I'll let you know Wednesday night. I may try to change the activity so that we can, if you want to go to the meeting, you won't miss the meeting. But if I can bump the activity with Texas Baptist, we will do that. But I'll let you know that on Wednesday night. And then don't forget Saturday morning. Besides what's going on back there at 10 o'clock, they'll have bus visitation here at 9:30. So went in at 10:45. And then back in your place for Sunday school and church on Sunday. And again, make sure that you pray for all of our loved ones who are sick, especially Brother Tony and Gladys, if they can catch up. They were 40 hours in the emergency room, so they spent a long time in the emergency room, not much sleep and things like that. So just pray that God will help them get their strength back.
Please stand as we sing number 322. 322, Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus. Yeah.
some attention.
Better late than never. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for the opportunity to be here again this evening, Lord, and we just pray for this offering to help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll be singing number 338, Trusting Jesus.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith.
Spirit, we long to embrace.
We promoted him to he was supposed to help Brother Gomez, so we're trying to catch him up.
I'm glad you got to hear Brother Gomez.
Yeah.
And he was unexpected till just a few days before he was here, but I've wanted you to hear Brother Gomez since the last time he was here 15 years ago. Good preacher and a good man. And I was going to say it's good to hear a song about Jesus once in a while, isn't it? And then I wanted to do this this morning, and I got talking about something else and forgot. That's one of the things that happens as you get older, I guess. But I wanted to thank you for your prayers. I guess I ought to tell you what the medical professionals said. I had pneumonia, I had the flu, and a possible heart attack was what they said. So I like them possible heart attacks, you know. You know, they performed a procedure that I didn't need. I mean, I thought that was decent of them. You give me a little extra baker's dozen, as it were. Well, let's see how it goes tonight. Revelation chapter 12. And now, you know, it seems like it's been 2 months since I was here, but I've been preaching on Sunday night, not really through the book of Revelation, though it's kind of turned into that lately, but we're dealing with the doctrine of, they call it eschatology, the end time events. And at this point, we're talking about that seven-year period, at least seven-year period of time, the 70th week of Daniel, that we also call the tribulation period, the final 7 years before Jesus sets up his kingdom. And so Revelation chapter 12 and what we're talking about now, we have started now to enter into that final 3.5 years, and so we'll see it here. Revelation chapter 12, And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. That time and times and half a time in that verse is the same as the 1,260 days of verse 6. Anyway, then it goes on in verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so if you'll keep your Bible open to this passage, we'll look at this tonight, and I'll speak to you for a while on the subject, the devil's hatred for Israel. The devil's hatred for Israel. Now, you know, you may be like him. I know people that feel that way about Jews. The people that claim to be Christian know what to do with the Bible. I do know what they do. They use what they call replacement theology and claim that the church inherited the Old Testament promises that God made to Israel. In other words, God really lied to Israel. He meant that for the church. Yeah, right. God, Titus 1:2 says, cannot lie. And anyway, the devil's hatred for Israel. Now, Lord, help us tonight as we look at this chapter of the Word of God. Help me to explain it clearly and thoroughly. And I pray that you'll help us to get hold of what you have for us and give us an understanding, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word. Help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Our chapter tonight has to do with the final 3.5 years of the tribulation period and focuses on the terrible persecution that the people of Israel will face during that time. the Lord allows John to see a vision which reaches into the past of Israel's history, showing the reason why the devil will persecute them, and then reaches forward prophetically to explain things that will take place during those final 3.5 years before the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Redeemer, returns and sets up his kingdom. The Bible tells us a number of times that these final 3.5 years of the tribulation will be particularly terrible days for the people of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7 refers to that period of time. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah said. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1 describes it in these words, "There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." Zechariah chapter 13, now listen to this verse. The book of Zechariah basically is to the Jewish people what the book of Revelation is to us. But listen to what the Lord tells us about Israel in Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Did you get out of that what I got? Two-thirds of the people in the land, now I take it it's talking about just in the land, not Jews worldwide, but the ones in the land of Israel, two-thirds of them will die during this time. And then Daniel 9:27 tells us that midway through the tribulation, that is after the first 3.5 years, then the Antichrist will establish the abomination of desolation. And listen to what Jesus said concerning those days when that time gets here. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 15, Jesus said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." That's what Jesus said about those days. And so then, the Bible has told us that the final 3.5 years of the tribulation will be especially a time of terror and persecution and hardship and oppression for the people of Israel. Now, the chapter we're going to consider tonight, Revelation chapter 12, shows us the behind-the-scenes spiritual reason for Israel's persecution, and that is the hatred of Satan for Israel and the fact that his wrath is stirred because of his approaching end. Now, our chapter tonight shows us something else that we're also taught in many other places in the Bible, and that is, behind what takes place on this earth, there are spiritual forces and spiritual entities at work. And so let's look then at this chapter tonight in its entirety, and the basic theme that we see in this chapter is the devil's hatred for Israel. And so let's consider, first of all, the first 5 verses of the devil's hatred for Israel in the past. Now, these first five verses explain the devil's hatred of Israel in terms of his hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he hates Israel because Israel brought forth the one who would destroy him. They brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ. John sees these things in terms of a remarkable vision. Now notice three things that John sees in his vision in these first five verses. First, he sees the radiant woman, verses 1 and 2. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. The radiant woman. Now, we already had, whenever I was here before, a sermon showing that this woman represents Israel. And we see this in the description given here. Notice she's clothed with the sun, shining brilliantly with the radiance of the sun. This is the glory that Israel will reflect ultimately as the chosen nation of God. Then she's standing with the moon under her feet, representing the fact that she will ultimately conquer the power of darkness. Then she has a crown of 12 stars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Last time we looked at Joseph, he had that dream of the 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowing down to him, the stars representing the tribes of Israel. But the thing that John notices in particular about this radiant woman is that when he first sees her, she is having birth pains and is about to give birth to a child. I mean, that's what he sees. That's what he notices. That's what he tells us in verse 2. So he sees first the radiant woman. Second, notice, he sees the red dragon, verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And so John continues to describe what he sees in his vision. And he sees a 7-headed, 10-horned, great red dragon. Now, verse 9 tells us that this dragon represents Satan. As John continues to watch, he sees that the tail of this dragon draws 1/3 of the stars in its train and casts them down to the earth. Probably referring to those angels who followed Satan in his rebellion against God and became the evil spirits or the demons. But now, the thing that catches John's attention especially about this dragon has to do with the same thing that caught his attention about the woman. In describing the woman, he spoke of the fact that she was ready to give birth. Now, as he describes the dragon, he sees the dragon standing before the woman so that he can destroy the child that she brings forth immediately as soon as it's born. You see, there is something very special about this child, this man-child. The dragon wants to devour him as soon as he's born. And that brings me then to the third. He's seen the radiant woman. He's seen the red dragon. Thirdly, he sees the ruling man-child, verse 5. And she, this radiant woman, brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, this tells us who this man-child that the woman delivers refers to. It's the one that's to rule all nations with a rod of iron. You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 5 gives us the totality of the life of Christ. This one who will be the mighty ruler was born, brought forth according to the flesh, of the nation of Israel. And when he had completed his mission on earth, he ascended back into heaven to the throne of God. This speaks of the fact that he was protected by God in order to accomplish his mission in spite of the efforts of the dragon to, as verse 4 puts it, devour him. Now, throughout his earthly life and ministry, in fact, really even before he got here, but especially during his earthly life and ministry, the devil sought to destroy Jesus again and again so that he couldn't fulfill his mission. As a baby, the devil incited King Herod to seek his destruction in Matthew chapter 2. As he began his ministry and preached in the synagogue at Nazareth, the devil incited the townspeople to try to cast him off the brow of a hill and take his life, Luke chapter 4. In Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders sought to kill him, John chapter 5. As he continued his ministry, the Jewish leaders sought to stone him to death for claiming to be the I Am, John 8. As he continued to declare his oneness and unity with the Father, the Jewish leaders sought to stone him again, John chapter 10. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the devil tried in one final assault to take his life and keep him from Calvary, but Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done," and completed his mission, thank God, so you and I could be saved. Yes, the dragon sought to devour the Lord Jesus and prevent him from fulfilling his mission, but he fulfilled his ministry and ascended back to heaven, where he's seated today as our advocate, our high priest, our intercessor, our mediator, the one mediator between God and man. So we see from these first five verses, I hope you see this anyway, that the devil's hatred of Israel is actually rooted in his hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates the Lord Jesus, and he hates Israel because Israel brought Christ forth as to his humanity. Okay, so I hope you saw that, the devil's hatred for Israel in the past. Now let's move on. We see in verses 6 through 17 the devil's hatred for Israel in the future. Now between verses 5 and 6, please listen. Between verses 5 and 6, this entire age down to the midway point of the tribulation takes place. This entire age is skipped over. So that in verse 6, God jumps ahead in time to that halfway point of the tribulation. And this, don't think that's strange. That's not strange. This method of skipping over great periods of time and going on to something in the future is something that's often used in the Bible. Now, notice several things that John tells us about in these verses as he demonstrates the devil's hatred for Israel in the future. First, we see in verse 6 the escape of the woman. "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed her there 1,260 days. The woman who gave birth to the man child that Satan hates so much, that is the people of Israel, escapes what we're told about in the following verses by fleeing to a place in the wilderness that God has prepared for her, and there she finds nourishment and protection for 1,260 days, 3.5 years, those final 3.5 years of the tribulation. The devil will try to obliterate Israel. He's tried again and again in the past to obliterate Israel, but as he always has, while the devil tries to obliterate Israel, God will protect a remnant of Jewish people by providing a shelter, a refuge, a place in the wilderness. Some believe it might be the rock city of Petra, but whether it's there or somewhere else, for those final 3.5 years of tribulation, this woman, Israel, will find protection by the hand of God. Am I correct in tying Zechariah 13 into this and thinking that maybe God protects 1/3 of them by moving them to this place in the wilderness and leaves the 2/3 who reject Christ to face the Antichrist? Now, I don't know why, I'm just presenting that as a possibility. It's not, I'm not the oracle, I don't know everything. Notice, secondly, in verses 7 through 9, the ejection of Satan. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now right here, we see the behind-the-scenes spiritual reason for the intense persecution against Israel that's kicked off at the midway point of the tribulation. It's rooted in the fact that a war has taken place in the spiritual realm. Now, since the devil was kicked out of the third heaven, you do know that there are three heavens. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, Paul talks about being caught up into the third heaven. That's where God is, the third heaven. So you have, the Bible refers to heaven being where the clouds are and where the birds fly. That's the atmospheric heavens right around the earth. Then beyond that, the stellar heavens where the sun, moon, and stars are. And then beyond that, the third heaven where God is. Since the devil was kicked out of the third heaven at his rebellion against God, when he was joined by 1/3 of God's angels who became demons, the devil has been since then the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, operating in the atmospheric and stellar heavens. But now, at the midway point of the tribulation, angelic warfare takes place between God's angels, led by Michael the archangel, and the devil and his demons. And Michael and God's angels defeat Satan and his angels, and the devil and his demons are cast out of the atmospheric and stellar heavens down to the earth. That's what we just read. Thirdly, the exclamation from heaven, verses 10 through 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. A voice from heaven exclaims that this casting down of Satan to the earth will ultimately result in God's kingdom being established, and then the voice speaks of the overcoming victory that the people of God will attain in the days of persecution that lie ahead, a victory won by the blood of Christ, the testimony of these believers, and their unqualified devotion to God that causes them to love him more than life itself. Then this voice declares joy to the inhabitants of heaven, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Isn't that interesting? He tells heaven, you people up here, you rejoice. Go ahead and say hallelujah. You people down there on earth, woe to you. That's what the voice from heaven says. Now, some of you don't like me saying it, but all I'm doing is reading the Bible, basically. So what you don't like is what God's saying. You might want to be careful about that. So this voice declares joy to the inhabitants of heaven and woe to the inhabitants of earth, because the devil, in being cast down to the earth, understands that his time is almost up, and so this stirs his wrath. What a time this is. It's a time of the wrath of men, according to chapter 11 and verse 18, time of the wrath of God and a time of the wrath of Satan. A wrathful time. Fourthly and finally, explanation of the persecution in verses 13 through 17. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Again, we see the real reason for the devil's hatred of Israel, because of that man-child. At this midway point, he launches persecution primarily through his man, the Antichrist, which we'll see later on. Verse 14, and to the woman, Israel, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Israel is protected for those 3.5 years, a times, and I'm not going to cut my finger off, half a time, 3.5 years. Protected for those 3.5 years by fleeing to God's place in the wilderness. Where is that? Well, as I said, some people think it might be the rock city of Petra. I don't know, it might be, or it might be somewhere else. When the time comes, I promise you these Jews will know where it is, and they'll go there. Now, let me just throw this out. I don't know about this, but it says there in that verse that the wings of an eagle was what is involved in the woman getting to the wilderness. Some people, I'm not saying I'm one of them, but some people, but I may be, you don't know. Some people believe that the wings of the eagle is America's Air Force helping Israel. I don't know. In fact, I tend to think that's probably reading too much into it. But it's got to be something. So maybe that's it. If it is, that may be the only place in the Bible that America is mentioned in Bible prophecy. There may be another place where it talks about America being destroyed by the fire in the Isles, which makes me think of the super volcano under Yellowstone National Park, that if that thing goes off, and they say it's supposed to, you know, I mean, it's been 640,000 years. I love to hear these people talk. They don't know what happened 2 years ago, let alone 640,000 years ago. But something connected with these two wings of an eagle gets these Jewish people to the wilderness, where they reside for 3.5 years in safety while the Antichrist Now, I'm not sure what all God's going to do. Now, some of what he's going to do is set forth here, but there may be some other things too. I mean, some people tie the Song of Solomon where it talks about a wall of fire, that God may put a wall of fire around that if it's the city of Petra. Now, I've been to Petra. I rode the donkey the mile or ever how long it is through the tunnel to get to it. It's the only way you could get there. It used to be the real only way. I mean, now you got helicopters and things, so I guess you could get in there. But if you got a wall of fire around you, that would pretty much hold people back a little, I'd think. But then it goes on, verses 15 and 16. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, what does that mean? You say, I don't know, preacher. It's when I came to church, so you could tell me. Okay. Is it a literal flood? I mean, does that mean that the devil opens his mouth and a literal flood of water comes out of his mouth and tries to go down where Israel is and drown all of them? Well, it could be. God could do let that happen if he wanted to. And I mean, literally seeking to flood the area where Israel hides so as to drown them, but the earth opens in an earthquake, thereby destroying the devil's plan, swallowing up the water. Or it may be, and you find this in the Bible, this isn't something I'm inventing, a figurative flood, like a flood of armies. You read the Old Testament prophets, the book of Ezekiel, you find several times where the Lord compares armies that are going to invade Israel and Judah to a flood of waters rising up and carrying people away. Maybe that's what it's talking about. But God somehow uses the very earth to help Israel and protect Israel. And so then verse 17 closes the chapter by saying, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now this is important right here, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The devil declares war on Israel, and especially on what in this day, now they won't be called this then, but in this day they'd be known as Christian Jews. That's what it said. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they're not still Christ-rejecting Jews. There's a great turning to the Lord Jesus Christ among the Jews during the tribulation. I mean, 144,000 of them were saved and serving God back in chapter 7. And so then, the persecution of Israel in the final days of the tribulation carried on, humanly speaking, as we'll see later, by the Antichrist, takes place due to the hatred of the devil for Israel, and he hates Israel because Israel brought forth the one who will ultimately crush the serpent's head, rule the earth, and destroy Satan. And so, Christian, you have no reason to hate Israel. You ought to love Israel. Now, I'll be honest, even if the Bible didn't point out that Israel is God's chosen nation, I'm very well aware that he's set them aside for this New Testament age. Yeah, but he's going to pick them, I'm also aware he's going to pick them back up later in the tribulation period. But if the Bible didn't even say anything about it, I'd be for Israel, for the nation I'm talking about. I mean, you think I'm going to be for the, you think I'm going to be for the people that absolutely hate our gut? Now, the Jews, they haven't forgot. People think, oh, they ought to trust Jesus. Yes, they should. But I'm going to tell you something. when the Jews think of Christians, put Catholic in there, because that's what they're thinking of. They're thinking of all those pogroms that they were subject to under the Roman Catholics all through the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages, when they were burned alive in their synagogues because they were Jews. And they're not going to quickly forget. Good night. Haven't forgot it yet. And when we're gone, when the church, I'm talking about the church, all the saved people, are gone in the rapture, Bible-believing Christians are the only people that really support Israel now. Somebody told me about some Catholic priest down the road preaching against Israel. I said, you expect me to be surprised that a Catholic priest preaches against Israel? I mean, the member of a church that burned Jews in their synagogues for hundreds of years just because they were Jews and they couldn't force them to be converted to Catholicism. That's not something you forget. It might be good if Baptists in America would remember that. But and so Israel, the devil's hatred for Israel is rooted in the fact, well, we owe the Jews for this, and we owe the Jews for him.
Doubt in your mind, or not sure you're saved, if you bow your head and close your eyes for a moment, we want to ask